This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Margs. Skinny Margs for Courtney for lunch, and then it's apparently it's a Met Gala Monday.
Yes,
for Courtney.
What are you, Greg? If you just when you sit down, you're gonna get one thing in a Mexican place. What's your entree?
Fajitas.
Yep.
And I like. I prefer. I never do chicken and
steak.
Steak. I just go chicken.
All right, whatever you like.
Skinny.
And I am soft taco. Soft. Tortilla all the way.
Do you like the grilled veggies with it?
I really don't like I really just like the chicken, the salsa, and the sour cream and the guac.
It's not really a fajita, though.
It is. It really is.
Oh. Yeah. No,
it's more like a soft shell taco.
No, I really don't. I don't love the onions and the peppers. I don't really have a lot of need for that.
That's the best part.
Yeah. Really. I love that sizzle. I can hear it and smell it coming a mile away.
Greg, just because you brought up margaritas, it made me think. So I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are themed or specialty drinks at a wedding good or douche movie or kind of how do we feel about
it? It's a waste.
I'm curious.
Oh,
ooh,
okay.
You think it's a waste?
It's a waste. They charge extra for that.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
What were you thinking of from a theme
perspective? Well, because you just brought it up. Like, I was thinking of a spicy Chimarita.
Jeez.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know what to say. A lot of people, I wasn't going to bring this up, Shine, but this forces my hand.
Of course.
A lot of people in Springfield were very worried about Shine's ego.
Yes.
My ego? What?
They say you have completely changed in, how long have you been on this show?
4 years.
Mm.
That long?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
On my fourth year, I should say. So it's been like 3.5.
They feel like it's all going to your head.
Mm. Yeah.
It might.
So
I'm not going to deny it.
It would be the spicy Chimarita.
Yeah, it's my wedding, of course.
Does it come
I don't know. She hadn't decided on her. She wanted a whiskey drink, though. She just hadn't decided.
So Shime is like the Shador Sanders of the show.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's legendary.
Yeah, I need some bling. Maybe some Louis bags.
You should hire a guest bartender. And get that woman that we talked about in the news from Florida who pours the shot down your drink and then punches you in the throat.
Yeah.
Shot down your throat and then punches you afterwards.
I could go for a slap bartender, yeah.
Yeah.
And I also love Courtney's wedding weekend that probably was $16 million. She drew the line at personal cocktails. Not renting out the resort, not 4 days of activities.
Saying, like, I think the bartenders can make a margarita, can make whatever, but if you actually do a sign that's the Shime spicy margarita, then they'll charge you extra.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a batch cocktail.
I did not know that.
Yeah, just, you know, a life jack, if you will.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Courtney.
This is Mike from Quincy. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Not much, man. I got the good news that I heard about the Red Sox. I don't know if you did, but Mookie Betts ended his 6-year contract with the Dodgers, and there were talks with the Astros about joining him for $330 million contract. That's max contract of an.
We lost Mike.
I don't have reality is calling. It has no understanding of what was just said.
We lost Mike. I don't know what happened there, unfortunately.
Interesting.
What in the world?
Contract numbers were a little bit different.
Must have been on an AAF phone.
What year would you guess Mike is currently living?
Well, it would be it would need to be 2032 because that's when Mookie becomes a free agent.
Yeah. Unless he thought it was like 2018 or 17.
Maybe he is just waking up and, I don't know, was in a coma or something like that.
Rip Van Winkle?
Yeah. Or is he coming to us from the future?
It could be that he is speaking from the future. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Jackson, for that call.
Called back.
What's that?
Called back.
Oh, Mike called back? Yeah, no. All right, I guess we could. I don't know.
Fascinated.
I mean,
are you fascinated? Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Yay.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say he turned down his max contract for an 8-year contract of $330 million to after a 25-minute talk with Cora and one of the owners for Red Sox. He's coming back to us, he said.
Really?
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. Yes.
Where did you see this, Mikey?
Where did you see this? This is big news.
MLB News.
Oh, really?
Oh, MLB News.
Okay, all right. Okay. This is big. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Well, ESPN's slow on the buzzer then because they don't have anything about
it. We will have an update on this at the bottom of the hour.
All right.
Doing a quick Google search.
What are we doing?
I mean, unless he has a player option somewhere that we don't know.
Did he get Eric shunned? Is that what happened?
He might have. Yeah. He might have.
I think so. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we have a couple leads left. Wiggy, your lead this morning?
All right. So my lead is this. For all you Red Sox fans out there, the diehards, take it easy. Don't worry about it. The great thing about the Red Sox is they are, like our boy Axe said, they are in a crappy division. They're only 2 games behind the Yankees when it comes to division leaders. And if you look at where they are, we still got probably July 15th is the All-Star break, and that's generally when we can kind of get an understanding of where this baseball team is. But luckily for all the Red Sox fans out there, you are in a real, real crappy division, so you don't have to concern yourself too much with getting too deep of a hole, because when you look at the Yankees and you look at the rest of the teams in your division, over the last 10 games, there's only one team that has played 2 games above 500, and that would be the Tampa Bay Rays, which have a 6-4 record over the last 10 games.
So you're not concerned. Mm-mm. You went out and you were specific in trying to improve this ball club.
Yeah.
And you're not concerned when you look at the result being 500, especially against teams that you should be beating up on?
No, not through the first 36 games of the season, because we've kind of been down this road before and a couple different variations of it. A few years ago, we were, when you looked at the Red Sox through the first, you know, half of the season up until the All-Star break, they were playing good baseball. Like, all right, they got to make moves. They're coming out of the gate slow a little bit. But the thing about is I always look at is what's the rest of the division look like? How deep of a hole do you dig yourself? And fortunately for them, the rest of the division is not very good.
Yeah.
So then, you know, they lose and everybody else loses.
Well, but everybody's not going to stay bad in the division.
Well, that means that you might be one of those teams that's not going to stay bad.
Okay.
Right? So, and that's the thing you have to look at. When you look at them overall, do you think this team is going to stay bad?
Well, they have a decision to make at first base. And we're going to get to what Craig Breslow said about that this weekend and keeping his options open when we get to They Said It coming up.
Right, so. But I think that's for everybody. You know, you never want to see a player get hurt, but I think a lot of fans are probably pretty happy knowing, okay, we now can finally make a move at first base without having the team have to say, well, we're going to be patient with Casas.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever they go to is going to be an upgrade. So I think, and that's what fans have been clamoring for, you know, these last couple of months.
All right, Wiggy, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
It is Celtics-Knicks this evening, game 1 at the Garden, game 2 on Wednesday. And then game three happens Saturday. And I am interested in, I said last week that I wanted the Celtics to play the Knicks because of the Boston-New York rivalry.
Correct.
Now, Jaylen Brown spoke about that rivalry, these two cities, over the weekend. Here's what he said.
Yeah, it's a great stage for basketball. You know, just all the history between, you know, Boston and New York. It's excellent to be able to live or to relive in that. So I don't take that for granted. You know, I think a lot of people will be excited watching this series just because of the history. So, you know, it's our job to come out and put on a great performance and take care of business. But, you know, it's definitely something to look back and just enjoy, you know, the platform and, you know, that basketball kind of delivers at this stage in the playoffs, Boston versus New York. It don't get too much better than that.
So is it still a thing? Ken Laird was kind of, I feel like he was elder shaming me on Friday, saying that he didn't, it's kind of an old head thing that there's a rivalry between Boston and New York. But I would ask where, if you look at any other city, what other rivalry, I guess, Los Angeles, the, you know, a little bit in basketball, like Celtics, Lakers.
I think that it's less about sports specific and more about how New York views Boston.
Bingo.
And Wiggy brought that up on Friday, like that we're the little brother of New York, like New York's bigger, badder. But like at the same time, do I think of the Knicks as a rival? No.
Yeah, and I think it's more, you're right. I think it's a lot of spillage of it is the Red Sox Yankees. I think the Jets Patriots.
Yeah.
But when you start to look at strictly basketball, it's, you know, there's a bigger rivalry between Detroit. I think you were right, Courtney, when you said it's more about how New Yorkers view Bostonians and how we view New York.
The only time there was a New York basketball rival was when Kyrie was with the Nets. And then it added a little bit more spice.
Yeah, but I'm just talking, it was arguably the greatest rivalry in sports, city to city, Boston, New York, because of Sox Yankees.
Yeah, and I think
I would also say the Giants winning two Super Bowls against the Patriots.
Yeah, that's another one, Curtis. That's a good one, too.
I would say in terms of hatred, I would put, just personally speaking, I go Yankees first, Giants, Jets, Knicks. I don't like it. I mean, obviously I don't support those teams. And I also think that Boston fans look at the Knicks like Yankee fans look at the Mets. Like, they don't like them. It's their crosstown rival. They don't like sharing the headlines, but they've been so much better than them forever that it's not really. I mean, the Knicks get more unearned TV coverage than almost any other team in sports. They literally haven't won a championship in Wiggy's lifetime, I don't think.
No, they've never won a championship. The Knicks were good in my lifetime. It was the Patrick Ewing era, but they obviously ran into the Bulls. They ran into the Pacers.
The Rockets.
Yeah, for when I, as a Celtics fan, when I look at the Knicks, I'm like you're a pimple on our ass. Like, you're not even in the same league as us in basketball. So, but in you know, the other sports, I think it's more of just the whole New York-Boston type of thing. So that's kind of where the rivalry is, because New Yorkers always look at us like they're better and they got like a little bit more swag and all this other stuff. Like, they created everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, game one tonight, 7:00. You can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are going to get to They Said It coming up next, a quick back and forth on everything they said over the weekend. But right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox drop 1 to Minnesota 5-4. The Sox were up 3-1 heading into the 7th, so another blown late lead by the bullpen and dropping that series. The Sox off tonight before turning their attention to the Rangers, who are here in Boston. That series starts tomorrow. And over the weekend, the Sox lost Tristan Cassis to a left patellar tendon tear. The Sox released a statement yesterday saying first baseman Tristan Cassis today underwent a successful left patellar tendon repair. The procedure was performed by Dr. Eric Berkson at Mass General. The Celtics kick off round 2 tonight against the Knicks at the TD Garden. Clean injury report for the C's heading into this one. Tip is at 7. NBA playoff games last night. The Warriors take the series against the Rockets, taking Game 7 103-89 to move on to the second round. And speaking of the second round, the Pacers took Game 1 against the Cavs 121-112 in Cleveland. As for the NHL playoff games last night, Winnipeg takes the series against the Blues. They won in double overtime 4-3. And the NHL draft lottery is tonight. Depending on the outcome, the Bruins can pick between number 1 or number 7. The Bees have the fifth best shot at landing the top pick with an 8.5% chance at landing that, an 8.6% chance at getting the second pick, a 0.3% chance at third pick, no chance of picking fourth, and 24.5% chance staying put at the fifth pick.
When do you think they hire a coach? And if we saw the Rangers hired Sullivan,
Mike,
right?
Mike Sullivan, yeah.
Wasn't there another team that just hired a coach here recently? But when do you think the Bruins hire their next guy? Then we could start evaluating, okay, yeah, what this guy might bring.
I mean, I would hope it is before the end of the month. I would hope.
Okay. I think it's top priority.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, they're taking their time to do it. But do you believe that Joe Sacco is on the short list of finalists for that job, or do you think that that's all talk?
No, I don't think he's on that list. Yeah, I think he's been here for a long time, and they had opportunities to make him a head coach before, and they kind of passed over him. So I think it's going to be somebody completely different. Just be interesting to see who that guy is.
Well, that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Arriba, arriba. Just in time for Cinco de Mayo, ground beef is on sale at Shaw's and Star Market. Get value pack 80% lean fresh ground beef for only $2.97 a pound. That's limited to two when you use the digital coupon. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 55 degrees and rainy. And I have good news for you, Greg. According to a brand new study the last several days, in a shocking climate twist, Antarctica's ice sheet has seen dramatic increases in mass.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Defying trends of rapid melting observed over previous decades.
Hmm.
Researchers from Tongji University, using satellite gravimetry data, found that between 2021 and 2023, the Antarctic ice mass expanded by a staggering 108 billion tons annually.
Wow, that's pretty good.
So, wow.
Curtis, that means the bike lanes are working.
Great job, Blue Origin. We saved the planet.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy May the 5th, all day long. That's La Bamba.
Great movie. The movie Ricky Valens.
Richie? Yes. I mean, names are not your thing, but yes.
All right. Isn't Richie short for Ricky too as well?
I think it can be.
Lou Diamond Phillips?
Yes.
Wow.
Very good.
You know what's interesting about like some of those movies? Then I saw the other movie with J-Lo about Selena, I believe her name was. I like movies like that because I didn't really know much about the La Bamba and all that, like how he died and everything. Spoiler alert, plane crash.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
there are others who died in that. So that's the day that the music died.
Yeah.
Right.
From the Don McLean song, American Pie. And so you had the Big Bopper also passed away. And, of course, Buddy Holly. The legend.
Yeah, that's right. There was a couple of them in that. Yeah. Now there's the movie you talk about that starts to ring
some bells.
Is that
in your emergency top five when it comes to biographical musical films? Like you brought up the Selena one.
Okay, so that would have to be my Latino top five films.
Well, you separate it based on race? Oh,
yeah, okay.
Number five.
I would have Selena on that list.
That's a good one.
I would definitely definitely have La Bamba on that list, which is a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously put Cheech and Chong top of that list. I love all Cheech and Chong movies.
Yeah, but that's not a musical.
I don't think it's a musical.
I'm
just talking about my Latino movies.
Okay. That's a separate list. It's Latino films that Wiggy likes.
That they show the culture.
Okay.
Love the culture.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway.
American Me.
Huh?
American Me.
I don't know that.
You ever seen that one?
No.
That was with, what was it? Is it James Almost? Oh, man. What the hell was his name? Such a good actor.
There is an actor, James Olmos.
Yeah, I think he was in American Me.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay. All right. While Wiggy is working on that, let's get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They...
Don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they would like to honor those who built this city, whether they build or drive or care for those of us who live in this city. They should be honored, and Ketch's is doing that. So just nominate your favorite hero who helped build this city when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. Great prizes. $1,000 cash, baseball tickets, chance to be on a billboard, all that stuff when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. Where would you like to start this morning, Chime?
Greg, I think it's only appropriate we begin with the Boston Red Sox. Craig Breslow spoke to the media and was asked about what the Sox will do at first base. Here was Craig Breslow's back and forth with the media.
Yeah, so I mean, I think in the short term, obviously, we brought Toro up. He's been playing well in Worcester and also has some experience in the big leagues at first base. And then, you know, the conversations about longer term solutions are ongoing. You know, we'll figure out something. We've got no choice. And I think, you know, this is a pretty resilient group.
Would you have Devers take ground balls at first base?
I think we're still trying to figure out what the long-term solution looks like. You know, at this point, still pretty focused on just making sure that Tristan is getting everything that he needs and we're taking care of him.
How tricky is that? Like, you know, he's seemingly just gotten to a place where the routine is, you know, where it seems like he's found this routine as a DH. How delicate is it to try to, like, to think about the possibility of reconfiguring it or avoiding it?
Yeah, you always want to be sensitive to all of those things. You know, right now, not in a place to speak to that, but obviously we'll have conversations internally, and we'll do the best we can to find the short-term solution and then also one that we feel like can hold up over the longer term.
Let me ask the Red Sox savant in the room what he would do. What would you do in this case, Curtis?
I would put Roman Anthony at first base.
Okay.
And I know that that's not what the baseball people want
right.
you to do.
Hasn't really played there.
Right. I don't care. He's
okay.
The number one prospect in Major League Baseball.
Mm.
Get him at bats every day. I don't. First of all, even if the worst case scenario occurs and he just gets the yips and can't catch the ball,
yeah.
Fans are not going to be all over him. They know the situation. They know it's not his choosing.
Well, he's going to be mashing anyway. So
right.
Who cares?
So
right?
I don't know what there's. I thought the lack of urgency was over with. In other words, I thought this was a season they were going to be all in.
Yeah.
And their approach to this has just been frustrating to me.
So you would not ask Devers if he would like to play every day.
I trust Alex Cora in what he knows of the dynamic that exists today in the locker room, that there's a reason he's saying to Breslow, we are not moving Devers there.
Right. There is some reporting that that the manager, Alex Cora, does not want to ask. Does not even want to bring it up
right.
with Rafael,
and that's
Devers.
Fine. I'm on the same train Curtis is on.
What about moving? I've heard some talk about moving Christian Campbell over there.
Yeah, or Mookie Betts wants to play first. I guess he's signing.
So, yes.
But Brooksy told us that, you know, that's the easiest position to kind of learn, and if you get moved to, it would be first base. So whether it's Christian Campbell, I like the Roman Anthony thing. I mean, there's, you know, you have some options there, and. You know, and when you look at it, I think people will look at it very similar to when we looked at what was our boy from Waltham that used to smash
Schwarbombs.
Remember when they moved him to first base and people,
right.
You know, they were like, all right, he made a couple errors, but that's not his natural position.
Yeah.
As long as he's hitting bombs at the plate, that's all that
matters.
Well,
that's the most important thing too. Is it's like this is your opportunity to get Meyer or Anthony up here.
Right. Yeah.
It is the perfect. It is gift wrapped. For you.
Yes.
And yet you're just being like, no, we're not going to do that.
You couldn't have asked for a better situation. And like I said a while ago, you never want to see players get hurt.
Yep.
But the biggest issue that they were having was the patience that they had to have with Casas at first base,
mm-hmm.
especially when it came to his hitting. And so now that has been taken out of your hands. So now you as an organization have gone, whew, we at least now can avoid all these questions every single, you know, series. When are we going to do something?
I mean, you got a bunch of options. I think Brad Foe is in the Marcelo Meyer camp.
Right.
I read that over the weekend from him.
Why not?
Honestly, you could move Story over there. And
put Meyer at short?
No, if you can get, I guess you have to rely on Devers, like, but maybe you put Devers back at third.
Oh, Devers the third Story.
Yeah.
Where would you put Bregman?
Short.
Bregman is short.
Or again, it's your opportunity to bring up Meyer, right? Like, you move Story to first, you put Meyer at short,
yeah.
You keep Bregman at third, and you keep Devers at your DH spot.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch Bregman. I would go with, you know, whether it's Meyer, whether it's Anthony, whether it's moving Christian Campbell over there. I would go those moves, leave Devers at DH because it seems like he's fitting into that role.
They are just slow playing, moving these guys up. And I worry that it is because of financial concerns.
The like, service time issue?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you wait on them, what, Curtis?
I understand that completely, and that's a very pervasive theory that they're doing this so they get an extra period of service time prior to free agency. What we thought was now a good relationship between Breslow and Cora, I am doubting. Because my guess is, just a guess, this offseason, Alex Cora wanted to get rid of Tristan Casas. And he pushed the organization to sign Bregman, which was not Breslow's idea. He almost admitted as much last week on the front office report when I asked him about it. And I feel like Cora's sitting here like, look what the position you put us in. Like, I'm not going to ruin Devers again. I want to bring up the guys and make the roster better by bringing up the best prospect in baseball right now.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, I don't know how you guys feel about unretiring numbers. Abdul Carter had talked about wanting to play with LT's number. Gronk, our guy, not very happy about it. Doesn't love this move by Abdul Carter. Here was Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, they got Abdul Carter. Yeah, I think with the third pick in the draft, who's going to be a star? But was he serious? Was he serious asking for LT's number? Yeah, you're a high draft pick, but LT is an absolute legend. The best to do it. One of the best defenders of all time. And let me tell you, brother, like, you got to prove yourself. Just, that's crazy just asking for LT's number. And I'm glad that LT shut him down like that.
LT and Phil Simms said, nah, I'm good. We're good because Phil Simms wore 11. And so,
yeah.
You know,
you played the game. How do you feel about
it? I get what Gronk's saying. Like, you know, I get the Abdul Carter going, like, I want to wear it to represent for such a great player. I get that element of it. But I get what Gronk's saying is, like, you know, and even LT said, like, make your own way and make your own number.
Yeah.
Be great. So if you're going to.
I mean, I think Abdul Carter responded yesterday on social media and said, I'll just put my name, just have my name on the back. And I really don't care anymore.
Just give him the classic double zero, Greg, after you. Can he have your double zero?
I think he was trying to pay homage.
Yes, he was.
He
actually said it. He goes, listen, I would love to wear 56 because, you know, LT is an idol. I would love to, you know, like you say, honor this number. And that's when LT responded, like, listen, I appreciate it, but make your own way and make your own number be great. And so he kind of shut it down in that way.
But then shouldn't he be able to wear number 11 with Phil Simms? Like, that was his number in college. Like,
but I think it's retired to Phil Simms.
I know,
number.
But like, I think that if you're Phil Simms, you should be able to recognize that that's been his number as well. I don't know. Like, I understand the paying homage. Like, mm-hmm. I get why that's off the table. But when it comes to a number that you've worn as well, I don't know.
That's like saying that, you know, if Drake May wore 12 in college and you would say, well, why can't he wear 12? Yeah, when a number's retired, it's retired. Unless a guy says, all right, you know, I got no issues with it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and represent. But
I mean, nobody will ever wear 12
right.
here.
No,
ever.
I don't think so.
I also don't think Phil Simms is Tom Brady, but.
No, but it's, I'm just saying the number's retired.
I get what you're saying.
But don't you eventually just, like, run out of retired numbers?
Right.
And you run out of all the good numbers. Like, you can retire a number and people can still wear it.
Don't you think nobody should ever be named Tom or Brady again?
Because isn't the purpose of retiring the number meaning, like, and you don't do it with everybody's number. So there's still plenty of numbers to choose from, but the purpose of it is because the person was great at what they did. So you can't just be like, oh, we retired it, but yeah, you were it in college, so here you go.
Yeah. The I saw it a lot this weekend, resurfacing the Tom Brady audio with Dion and Shador. Did you see that, Curtis, reappearing on social media?
I didn't see it this weekend. I remember when they were on, when they were talking about how he was driving cars and his dad was saying Dion was having Tom try and instill a work ethic in Shador.
Yeah, he's saying rather than drive your Rolls Royce, watch film.
Right.
He's got a great chance in Cleveland. We'll see what he does with it. There's no – now it's like – it's. I think you're past it now. You were the you went in fifth round. It's like over and done with. Uh-huh. Now it's whether or not – if you can't beat out Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel.
It's a real problem if you can't beat out Joe Flacco.
Right. So if you were the number, let's say your interviews were great and you potentially were the number two pick, which by the Cleveland Browns, or even the number three pick by the Giants, then you should be able to beat out Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. So like it should be all on you from here, Shador.
And Shime, you are slacking, bud. Todd McShay just released his 2026 mock draft.
Oh, wow.
Curtis, we got way more important things to worry about than 2026 mock draft. We start mock draft season around November around here. Like, come on.
Who's he got number one on his list?
The quarterback from LSU, Nussmeier.
Yeah, because I seen Arch Manning was down on it a little bit. Yeah. On one of those mock drafts.
He doesn't have Shador in the first round, which is insulting.
And Shador said he wants to wear Jim Brown's number, 32. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
First quarterback with 32.
I think he wants to stay away from the number twos in Cleveland, though. Because wasn't that...
he just wants to have legendary on the back.
Right.
Legendary number one.
Number twos in Cleveland is redundant.
Yeah. Wasn't that Tim Couch's number when he was in Cleveland?
Oh, it might have been.
Yeah.
I think we've all tried to forget that era.
What's next?
Well, Greg, one team that got bounced from the NBA playoffs is the LA Clippers. Kawhi Leonard doesn't seem too excited about his future in LA. Here was Kawhi Leonard postgame after losing to the Nuggets in Game 7 this weekend.
What gives you any level of encouragement that you can build off of what this team has shown and what you both have shown individually?
I don't know right now. I guess we still playing at a high level in a sense. It's a hard question to answer right now.
Don't know about it. I mean, think about Kawhi. He was such a great player, but he don't play no more because he's always hurt. I think he only played in like 37, 38 games this year. He's still a talented player, but...
Could you convince him to come here on a cheap contract?
I don't know.
Is he at that point in his career?
Yeah, I think he's still making a ton of money, so I don't know about that one, Chime. That's a good question, but he's constantly hurt. I mean, I don't know if anybody would want to build their team around Kawhi or have him be their number one or even their number two because...
Oh, yeah, he still has 2 years left in his contract, $50 million apiece.
Yeah, and I don't know if you...
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
$50 million apiece?
Yeah. Each year, yeah. Next 2 years. So $100 million over the next 2 years.
Yeah, and I don't want to take on that money.
A lot of taxes.
When a guy who doesn't play, nope.
All right, anything else, Sean?
No, that'll do it today, Greg.
All right, that is They Said It. Quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. News with Courtney next. That includes Ice Cream Rage, which led to violence at the DQ in Ohio, and Florida not like the rest of us, and why some realtors are reporting that an alleged home buyer is not as interested in the actual home that he is touring, but is very interested in their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that is all coming up next.
Well, a sad story over the weekend. A man in Southie fell from a third-story balcony Saturday night and died.
Oh.
Police responded to a call around 11:55 p.m. from 190 Emerson Street. The man has not been publicly identified, and the death is under investigation. And I happened to be watching the news over the weekend. I was watching Fox 25, and wouldn't you know it, friend of the program, one of Greg's besties, part of his entourage, Bobes, mm-hmm. Bobo, was an eyewitness.
He doesn't like when you call him Bobo.
I don't, but Wiggy does. But I just wanted Wiggy to know who I was talking about.
He does not like that nickname.
No, he doesn't.
What's his last name?
Barboza.
Perfectly Barbo.
No, it's an insult when you call. Why? Because you continue to do it. You know I've told you and he's told you that he doesn't like it, and you continue to
like it, though.
Diminish him by calling him Bobo.
I don't think it diminishes him.
It makes him sound like he's a Bobo. But what? He was what?
I would also say it's an odd thing that Wiggy remembers no names except the one the guy doesn't want to be called.
Right? It's true.
But what?
He was an eyewitness. He
was in the news.
Yeah, we can hear him talking to Fox 25.
It was on Fox 25.
That's what I was watching,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
There, part of the neighborhood, and yeah. That's the first I've saw. I just gotta be careful out there. No, it's definitely quiet on the street.
Okay, you gotta be careful out there. Doesn't sound like he was an actual eyewitness.
Yeah, that would sound like a pile of hogwash.
That's the first I've saw. I just gotta be careful out there.
Okay, all right. Good advice from Bobes.
Be careful out there.
I mean, that was also Sunday, him talking to the news, and he was out with you, Greg, on Saturday. I had a few phone calls from him. He had himself a night.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Good for him.
Yep.
Boy.
Well deserved. He's the best. A massive fire destroyed Captain Scott's seafood restaurant and sandwich yesterday morning.
Look at that.
Yeah, it had to be completely torn down. It happened right before 5:30 a.m. and firefighters noticed the natural gas regulator had been burned off, which caused a gas leak, leading to them have to tear the entire structure down. Here's a longtime customer, Freema Buckman, on BZ.
We live in Plymouth, so when we always come over the bridge, it was like fairy tale, you know, coming to Sandwich.
Wow.
Okay. That's sad.
Yeah, really sad.
Yeah. Hopefully they can rebuild.
Yes. And yesterday, Donald Trump made the announcement that he would be ordering the government to rebuild and reopen Alcatraz.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Authorities estimate that it could take roughly $3 to $5 million to restore and maintain the facility without daily operational costs. But here's what Donald Trump had to say.
Just an idea I've had, and I guess because the judges, so many of these radicalized judges, they want to have trials for every single, think of it, every single person that's in our country illegally, that came in illegally, that would mean millions of trials, and it's just so ridiculous what's happening. And it's long been a symbol, Alcatraz, of whatever it is. I mean, you know, it's a sad symbol, but it's a symbol of law and order. And you know, it's got quite a history, frankly. So I think we're going to do that, and we're looking at it right now.
Emergency top five best Alcatraz-themed films.
Number five,
Birdman of Alcatraz. I don't know if anybody saw it in the late 50s.
Number four,
4321, The Rock with Sean Connery.
That was a good
movie.
One. Wasn't there an Escape from Alcatraz
with
Clint Eastwood?
Yes, Escape from Alcatraz.
Number one.
I think you could probably throw Black Mass in there, the Whitey Bulger story, because Whitey was at Alcatraz at one point early on.
Right.
And they did, like, I think he participated in LSD experiments or something that they were doing on prisoners at Alcatraz,
right?
If I remember correctly.
When I was reading about Alcatraz after this, I mean, I knew what Alcatraz was, but obviously Whitey Bulger ties to it. I didn't realize that Machine Gun Kelly was named after, or he picked that stage name based off somebody at Alcatraz.
Yeah, famous, like, 1920s gangster guy.
Right. Okay.
Machine Gun
Kelly. I never knew that.
And didn't Capone die in Alcatraz?
Did he? Al Capone?
Did he die in Alcatraz?
Well, he died, I think, of syphilis.
Oh. Right. Wasn't he when it was locked up? I can't remember. I thought I heard that from somewhere.
Alcatraz as a tourist is really cool. Like, one of the cooler places.
I never went to it. Did you go to it?
It's awesome. Like, they put you in the clink. And then another cool thing out there, the bridge-to-bridge boat tour, phenomenal. San Francisco in and of itself, smelly, poop everywhere, not great. But the bridge tour, beautiful.
Capone died at his mansion in Florida at the age of 48 in 1947. He left Alcatraz in 1939.
Oh, okay. All
right. But from the syphilis, am I right about that?
Yes. Yep.
So a lot of the, it seemed like a lot of the historic gangsters spent some time, because I believe Bumpy Johnson spent time in Alcatraz, too.
Fun fact, Alcatraz had their own prison band, and Al Capone played banjo in the prison band.
Really?
Yes.
Can we just blew past one of the great opportunities for a one-liner.
Yes.
What did you just say, Wiggy? What was the person's name?
Bumpy Johnson.
That's what I think Capone died of, right?
Yes. Yes.
Ellsworth Bumpy Johnson.
Who was he?
He was a gangster, I want to say, in the, might have been 50s. He was like one of Harlem's first black gangsters. Hmm. Have you ever seen the movie American Gangster, the Frank Lucas story?
With Russell Crowe and Denzel.
Yo, Russell Crowe.
With Denzel, yes.
So Frank Lucas, when he started coming up, worked for Bumpy Johnson.
Huh. Fantastic.
Yeah, so I guess it's the history of the American criminal.
Okay, so open it back up. It'll be the most notorious prison in the United States.
Not a smart move, though.
Why?
Because it's looked at as one of the places where, like, America's criminals went to, like, ones that we know. Everybody's going to be vying for a spot in Alcatraz.
Oh, they'll all want to go to Alcatraz.
Right. So the crime rate's going to jump.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, of course.
We should take a break.
Okay.
We will get to the rest of the news next, including Florida not like the rest of us, and why some realtors are reporting that an alleged home buyer is not really that interested in the tour of the home. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. It's interested in other things.
Correct.
When it comes to the female real estate brokers. So that is coming up.